So it's a story we know fairly well, the three wise men, the Magi, or sometimes, as the song says, the three kings of Orient. But the scriptures don't tell us exactly how many there were. They do tell us they brought three gifts. We do know they came from the east. We sense that they probably had some wealth, because to travel that distance, it would cost them much. And the caravan was probably not just those three camels we see in those beautiful pictures. It was probably a large caravan, as it carried the wealth that they were bringing as gifts, and it would have their servants coming with them. So this was an entourage that came from the east. There were many things that the story doesn't tell us. It doesn't give them names, but someone has given them names. It doesn't tell us if they are Indian, if they are Asian, if they are African. All we know is that they are three or more or less. There may have been two. We do not know. We do know that they did one thing. They studied the stars. So what we do know about these people is that they were astrologers. So they were not people of God's tradition, whether they were Israelites or not. They were people who studied what we might call the horoscopes. They looked to the stars to tell them things. So when we wonder about what can God use to light our path, to show the way, God can even use astrology. It's not God's chosen path. But think about it. These who studied the stars knew one thing, that particular star that they studied shown to be what? Was coming for the coming king of Israel. Now, how would they know that? Way over wherever they lived, where we don't know, how would they know that that particular star was given life because the king of Israel had been given life, if it wasn't from God? If God didn't use that star, those men or women, to come and pay homage to the king of the Jews. Now, the story gets a little bit twisted when they get to Jerusalem. They know where they're going. So the star has risen. They know where they're going. So they get to Jerusalem. And then they do something very human. They ask a human king. They turn from God's guidance to human guidance and say, "You know where this king is born?" And I love that his sages knew where the birth was to take place, but no one was looking. No one was looking but foreigners. Foreigners who didn't follow the God of Israel knew the king had been born. And so they told them where, in Bethlehem. But then the story moves. Did you catch this part? That's when the star moved. I always thought the star moved from the beginning to the end. But they saw the star come to life. They went to Jerusalem because they knew it was the king of Israel. And then it says here in Scripture, when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. God was lighting the way to where baby Jesus was. God was lighting the way. And when they got there, they knew exactly who they had found. They had found the king of the world, not just the king of Israel. They had found the king of the world, and they paid homage. And then that dream came and said, "Don't go back to Herod, because you don't want him to know where this precious, precious child is." So the other thing that we don't really know about these people who came and paid homage to Jesus is we don't know if encounter with the Christ child changed their lives. We do know they went back a different way, but we do not know if they became followers of Jesus Christ. We can probably assume that they began to tell their story as they would meet people along the way, or when they got back, they said, hey, this is what we did. This is who we saw. And the king of the Jews has been born, and he's got a bad king that he's going to have to face at some time. You can imagine them sharing the story of their journey, of the star that was born, the star that moved this bad king and this precious, precious baby in Bethlehem that they saw and paid homage to. You can imagine they told that story. So they were evangelists. But we don't know if they were converted evangelists. That part of the story, we have to make all sorts of assumptions. Like we make assumptions that they all happened at the same time. So we have glorious pageants with shepherds and kings. And it looks really good, but it didn't happen in that order. So what does that say for us today? Why is this story about light, God's lighting the way, a story to tell at the beginning of the new year? Why would we want to know this particular story? Because what we don't know is how people got into the pews that they're sitting at. We don't know if we were the light that brought them here. We don't know if God used their life story to suddenly shine upon them his beautiful, gracious, loving light so that they could see that they were beloved children of God. We don't know if some stranger who didn't even follow our faith tradition may have been the word of God spoken to them. We don't know what God uses or how God uses it to light the way to the Christ child. What we do know is once we've encountered Christ, we can never go back to the way we were. Because that light that shone upon us has shined into us in such a way that we are different. We are different. And then we too go from here to be Christ's light, so that others can find their way. But the story also tells us that we might not know the rest of the story for anyone we encounter. Our task as followers of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the story, to proclaim the mystery, to proclaim how our lives were transformed by this baby. That maybe there's things we can't understand about Jesus Christ. Maybe there's things we can't understand about God. And maybe that we get really confused when we read the Bible sometimes. And maybe we want a God that interferes in history a lot better or a lot more real than God does. Those are all things we might want. But the reality of what we have is a God who is the light of the world and expects us to light the world for him. To expect us to tell the story. And to live out that story. That we might be the ones who are lighting the way for others to know about Jesus. That if we aren't the love light in the world, if we instead take direction from the human world, from the Herods, then the possibility is this: that baby Jesus could have been killed. Because what the scripture says next is that's exactly what Herod did. He went to Bethlehem, and every male child 3 and under was killed. Think what would have happened if the wise men had gone back to Herod. Jesus would not have had time. Joseph and Mary wouldn't have had time to get their baby out of Bethlehem. We need to pay attention to where God shines God's light in our lives, when God shines light on our path, and when God shines God's light through others to us. We need to pay attention to God's visions, God's light, so that we can shine into the community and they can know that there is a different way, that there is a different way to live as followers of Jesus Christ. That when the light shined that day in Bethlehem, when the star shone upon his cradle, it became a message to the world that God has not given up on us. And we are not to give up on God. But it's a mutual love relationship. And if we aren't followers doing what God has called us to do, if we aren't stepping into the light and following the light's path that will guide us to where God wants us to serve and be God's light in the world, then we're letting the world bring the darkness into that place. I heard a snippet about God being removed from environments in somebody's Sunday school class this morning. That God's being taken out. I need to tell you right now, God is always here. He's always in school. He's always in work. He's always in your home. He is always in the world. The only thing that keeps us from recognizing the light of Christ is when we allow the world's darkness to be the story that we follow. God is always present with us. And nothing is more present than this place here at God's table. So on the first Sunday of the year, where do we begin? We begin here. We begin here where we remember the story. When we remember the story that when God created the heavens and the earth, the first thing he said was, "Let there be light." And the light shone out of the darkness. And he separated the light from the dark. The light he called day. And the dark he called night. And then God created water. And God created dry ground. And God created beings in the water, beings in the air, and beings on the ground. And then God created human beings in his likeness. God created them. Out of love, God created them and said, "You are very good. Creation is very good." And then God created this day called the Sabbath so that we could rest in the love light of God. But we who are human fail God often and fail to love as God loves us. So God had to send his prophets and his priests to remind us that God loves us. And when that failed, God sent his son, a baby in a manger, the new light to the world. And Christ grew in that home and became whole and human and of age that his ministry began at the baptism in the Jordan, and the waters fell upon him, and God said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And he did his ministry in the world, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and he ate with us who are sinners. And he proclaimed that the time had come when God would save his people. And then he stretched out his arms and died on the cross and rose into heaven. And on his resurrection, he sent back to us the Holy Spirit that is present here and his word so that we would know about God's light and God's love. But that night before he was crucified, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God and broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."